Deepak Raju is a pastor and a biblical counselor in Washington, D.C. Among other things, he works with men who struggle with pornography. And he has found over time that a lot of these men are in a persistent state of hopelessness.
Most of them are at a point, having struggled with this for a while, that they're beginning to believe the lie that God really won't change this. And that makes the future bleak. And that feeds into everything the evil one wants to do. As a liar and a deceiver, he wants you to get in that bad position of believing God can't change this. And if he's got you right there, then you're trapped in a cycle that's just going to be really hard to get out of it.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. You can find us online at familylifetoday.com. Pornography is a stubborn sin to uproot, but as we'll hear from Deepak Raju today, we must never lose hope in God's power to transform us. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. You know, what we're talking about today is at epidemic proportions. I think to myself, Dave, I think there are kind of three groups of guys I think of when I think of the subject of pornography. I think of some guys I've met who have said, this has not been a particularly hard struggle for me. They've been able to avert their eyes, and this just has not been a challenge for them. I think of other guys who would say, this has been an ongoing battle that I lose more often than I win.
Right.
And I've tried and I've prayed and I don't know how to get out of it. And then I think of guys who would say, this was a struggle, but I found a path out and was able to get free from this. And of course, our hope is that those guys who are in a perpetual battle can hear some things this week that would cause them to say, okay, I can find the way out from here. With God's help, I can be free from this besetting issue in my life.
Yeah, and I do think, Bob, you're right. There's at least those three categories. I've talked to guys, and this isn't just a man struggle.
That's what I was going to say,
too. This is female as well. But I think the first category, those that have never struggled, is small and rare. But I'm smiling because I can remember one guy that told me that, and it's true. Yeah. I know him, and it's like, this has not been a struggle. But most guys I talk to, when they're honest, will say, this is a real battle.
There's a book came out years ago called Every Man's Battle,
right.
And I think most guys can say, yeah, it's something that I've been challenged with.
Right. I think as parents, too, this is something that we need help with for our kids. How do we talk to them? How do we help them? Do we enter into that even as a mom with our sons and daughters? Mm. So I'm glad we're going to get some help today.
I am too. And we've got a friend who is joining us to help us through this. Deepak Raju joins us again on Family Life Today. Welcome back.
Glad to be back.
Deepak is a counselor on the pastoral staff at Capitol Hill Baptist Church in Washington, D.C. The last time you were here, we talked about a book you'd written called Why Smart Women Settle, mm-hmm. all about why women get into relationships where they settle for less than what God has intended for them. And if listeners didn't get a chance to hear that, you can go to our website, familylifetoday.com, and there's a link to those programs.
And just in case anybody's wondering, that's not a book about my wife. She did not settle. She is smart.
I did not settle. No, you're right.
It's important clarification right there.
That's right. Deepak has also written a devotional guide for, I was going to say for guys, but it's men and women have been using this devotional guide. It's called Pornography, Fighting for Purity. Am I overstating the case to call it an epidemic in our culture?
No, not at all. If I can begin to count the number of guys who can say they have been pure and haven't had this as part of their struggle, I can count it on one hand at mm-hmm. this point. Mm-hmm. And the battle now is to see if the kids that are growing up underneath us who are surrounded by the internet and every form of technology, it's going to be even worse for them because my youngest kids grow up doing, I mean, you can't see on radio, like they do this hand motion.
The swiping.
Right? Just because this is a part of the culture that they live in.
Yeah.
So I'm concerned for my boys and my girls is it possible to let them grow up and not be infected by this epidemic?
Is this a 21st century issue, or has pornography been a challenge? I'm trying to think. I've heard statements like there were hieroglyphics that were pornographic hieroglyphics.
You've heard that?
I have heard that.
Really?
That cave drawings included pornography or sexual depictions in cave drawings. Is this something that's been around forever?
Well, in the sense that sexual sin has been around forever, this is a new version of it, the 21st century version of it. But as we'll talk about, like the same underlying issues, the heart that's at war for either a love for God or a love for the sexual desire is the same fundamental heart that thousands of years ago was wrestling with the desire for things that it shouldn't be desiring.
And back in the day, I mean, I'm sort of dating myself, but if you think about sexual temptation, in my generation, you had to go look for it. If any man wanted to look at a naked woman in print, it wasn't accessible in your hand in a phone.
Right.
Right? And so you'd really have to intentionally go, I got to go buy a magazine or go get something. And today, I remember saying to my son, who's 33, when he was probably 15, maybe 14, 7th, 8th grade, 13, 14 years old. I'll never forget this. I said to him, hey, does anybody on your wrestling team ever struggle with pornography? He goes, yeah. I go, like, how many guys? Every guy. I go, how often? Every day. I go, what are you talking about? Every day in our locker room, guys are looking at things on the internet 15 years ago. And that shocked me. I was like, everybody, every day. Yeah. It was a common experience for him to sit in a locker room and see images right there. And you talk about temptation. There it is. We're in a new day. And it isn't just outside the church, right? It's in the church as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I'm operating as a pastor who is dealing with men in my congregation and women in my congregation. It was interesting because the way I ran into this unexpectedly, I do the counseling role, so I hear the confessions of sexual sin all the time. But on our children's ministry application, there's a question about whether the volunteer has struggled with pornography in the last 3 years. And that's brought the people who hadn't confessed to us forward in a process of opening up. So I don't just screen them anymore. I take an opportunity to open up that part of their life and spend an extra however long it takes to step in and help men and now women think through the issue. So, you know, if I look at numbers, it's not surprising that anywhere from a third to a half of the men are right now struggling with it in a difficult way, and you add in women also. And then you deal with the men who have to stand now as examples to us. So the leaders, the godly older men who are pure and are helping those younger generations understand what purity even looks like.
And is it different for men and women? So what guys are attracted to, different than what women are attracted to?
Yeah, I mean, in the sense that the fundamental nature, the difference between men and women, men are very visual by nature, and we live in a very visual culture. Women aren't as visual as men, but they still have lustful desires. Sex for a woman is, for example, an integrated whole. It's not just the bedroom. And so there are ways in which lust and desires can go astray for a woman that integrate into all of her life compared to a man. You know, he just needs to look at an image on the side of a screen and then his whole body's lighting up. So there are fundamental differences between men and women that factor into this that we need to take into account as we're beginning to minister. And in standing up in a pulpit on Sundays, I'm conscious of the fact that I can't be just saying these kinds of things to men in the church, because it brings a double ounce of shame to the women who are sitting there struggling too, if I just say this is a men's issue.
Right. So walk us through this conversation if you're having somebody apply for the children's ministry and you see this on their application.
Yeah.
You're going to step into that. Talk us through. What do you say?
I'll reach out to them, say I want to set up a time to talk through the thing that you marked off on your application. And interestingly, there's a couple of different categories of things that will happen. The ones who were lazy about their sin, now that they know a pastor is going to be calling next week, suddenly find a kind of vigilance to start dealing with some things they didn't before. So it's interesting how many conversations begin with, hey, I just need you to know, like, I didn't get covenant eyes, but I finally went out and got it. Or I hadn't had accountability, but I asked my small group leader whether he'd be accountable. We're like, okay, great. If I'm a human means to help them to start take their sin more seriously and not be lazy or passive about it, then that's wonderful. I mean, that's a first start. And that's a reminder to all of us to not be passive about this issue. But if you know somebody's struggling, you need to talk to them. You need to be willing to step into their life and say some of the things they'll say, like, I love you and I want to help you with this. Mm-hmm. You don't have to fight this on your own. And the number of people who are isolated and just need a conversation partner even to begin this conversation. But I want to start with, like, a lot of people who are struggling with this are not only overwhelmed by the sin, oftentimes they're weary because they've been battling with this not just weeks and months. For some of them, it's been years. Mm-hmm. I'm dealing with folks who got caught up with this in elementary school or junior high, and they're coming to me as 20 or 30-year-olds. So we're talking like a decade, decade and a half, 2 decades.
Right.
The battle has been going on. So at that point, you're struggling with your assurance. You've given up that God can change you. You're just a weary soldier in the battle. Mm. And you need not only strategies and understanding how to fight the sin, how to block access, how to get good accountability. You just need some hope and encouragement to persevere, to just begin to fight.
I can remember as a dad of 3 sons, my first thought was, you know, they might make it through teenage years in high school, college without ever seeing porn. That was my first thought. Then it hit me when they hit about 12 or 13. That's probably not possible in this day and age. And again, I'm not saying it is, but I just had this thought, it's probably not possible. Hmm. This is a world now where they're probably, even if they're not looking intentionally,
accidentally could be exposed.
It could happen. But then one day we find porn on our computer. By the way, a computer that we had in the basement, in the corner. Dumb idea, mom and dad.
Well, this was dial-up. You know, it was really slow. We didn't even think about that at that point.
We should have never had a computer that was accessible down there in a sort of private area of our house. And after this, we moved it. But so there we were, and I find this porn, and I bring Ann in, and I go, look what I found on the computer. Of course, her first question is, what are you looking at? And I'm like, no, this isn't me. So it's one of our 3 sons.
Mm-hmm.
And our oldest was 13, maybe. Ended up sitting down with our oldest, and he's given us permission to share the story. And he said, yeah, that was me. And I remember as we sat down to talk about this, I thought about this day for years probably. Like, what will I be like if this ever happens? And here it was. And I thought I'd be maybe angry. I thought maybe I'd be, okay, I've got to teach him how to win this battle. And I found myself in tears.
Mm.
And I remember looking at CJ and saying, I'm crying because I've lost this battle at times, and I know the struggle you just stepped into. It's not going to end tomorrow.
Hmm.
This could be a lifetime battle, and I feel your pain, and at the same time saying, I will walk with you as a father and son. And now it's, you know, 15, 16 years later. But there it was, and you're sitting down with people all the time. That's their struggle. It could be lifetime. They're weary. I was weary. He was weary. You know what I'm saying? And so you just coached us, really, on what to do as a parent or as a fellow soldier beside somebody to walk into them. And here's the thing I didn't hear you say. You didn't say anything about shame.
Well, yeah.
You don't bring any of that, do you?
No. Well, and what I don't want in that first conversation, I don't want condemnation. Mm. I don't want anger. I don't want to add guilt on top of them, because they're already wrestling with guilt and shame and condemnation. I don't need to pile on top of what they're already wrestling with. So I bring it back to like that first meeting. I want him to walk away with some sense of hope that God can actually change this.
Mm.
Because most of them are at a point, having struggled with this for a while, that they're beginning to believe the lie that God really won't change this.
Yeah.
And that makes the future bleak. And that feeds into everything the evil one wants to do. As a liar and a deceiver, he wants you to get in that bad position of believing God can't change this. And if he's got you right there, then you're trapped in a cycle that's just going to be really hard to get out of it. So I want to give him a little bit of hope. I want to communicate, I love you. You're not alone. And God can do something about this. And so we're going to begin together to fight through this.
Deepak, you said that guys are already feeling the guilt and the shame. There are some guys who have rationalized that away.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking about guys who have come to me at times and said, so I'm going to be deployed for 6 months away from my wife. So is it okay for me as a way to try to manage my emotions and energy to look at porn and self-satisfy just so that I'm okay for 6 months? Or do I just have to grit my teeth and grit it out? Or is it okay if I look at pictures of her? What are your thoughts on that?
My answer is no, no, and no. Participating in immoral behavior in order to satisfy your lustful desires, even in the most awkward of circumstances, is never justified. Holiness is our goal no matter what our context is. And it doesn't matter if I'm on a ship 1,000 miles from my wife, or I'm trapped in a cave in the middle of nowhere, or I'm on a 5-day trip away from my wife. Holiness continues to be my goal every single moment.
What if I pursue my wife and she keeps rejecting me?
Yeah, well, then you need to come to my office so we can talk about your marriage.
Okay. you don't solve that by saying, well, I'll just look at porn.
No, we don't. And there's no excuse you can give me to permit you to participate in that immoral behavior. That's just never allowed in the kingdom of God.
If, and I'm going to just press it one more time.
Yeah, please do.
A guy is married to a woman who, through some kind of physical disability, is unable to be with her husband physically for the rest of their lives. So he's been married to her for 5 years, and something has happened, and that's not going to be a part of their marriage. Does he say, well, to be faithful to her, this is how I'll manage that?
Yeah, and that's interesting because I have had that question before. The one answer would be, well, there are all kinds of things you can do to be able to satisfy one another in the context of the covenant of marriage. So be able to be loving and creative in that way. That's one answer. The other answer is God not strong enough to actually give you purity if that's what you need in order to stay faithful to your marriage? Mm-hmm. I mean, so it doesn't come back to this answer of, what am I allowed to have? It's more like, what can God do to help you in the circumstances that you're in? I mean, I just want to bring it back to, what is God doing in your life, and how is he going to enable you to have the grace and strength to be faithful in that role?
And this is very different from the secular culture, what they're telling couples, because I've had many couples and even women come up to me and they'll say, I don't see anything wrong with looking at porn, and I don't see anything wrong. In fact, our counselor, our secular counselor, has told us this could help our intimacy in our marriage. And so they'll kind of take me on this journey of like, don't you think this is right? How would you address those thoughts?
I do not want to use any form of pornography because it's objectifying other men and women. And if you actually get behind what pornography is, it is abuse to vulnerable women, oftentimes, who are in horrible positions that have to sell their bodies, even in some cases for survival. If I'm permitting myself to take advantage of these other people, so lust is not just disordered desires. It's just not my desires going awry. It's my disordered desires that are taking advantage and using other people. That's what pornography fundamentally is. I'm using an image bearer for my own satisfaction that doesn't belong to me.
Yeah.
You just frame it that way. Why would I ever permit that into my marriage?
Yeah.
Why would I ever do that? When God's intention is for a husband and a wife to find full satisfaction in each other. And that's the boundary that God traces around the marriage.
We want to help men and women find the path out. And that's what our focus is going to be as we continue this. But I've met two groups of people that are struggling with the issue of pornography. One group is that group that has an occasional lapse where they stumble periodically. There's another group, though, where it's a daily compulsion and sometimes hours a day looking at pornography. They're in a deep well. Is the path out different for one group than it is for the other?
Yeah, it is. So I'll give a couple of basic ingredients as we think about it. Access is key to the whole issue, though it's not the only part of the issue. So for the person who is overrun by it, they're looking at it not just every once in a while, but multiple times a day. My first question is, what are your access points and how are we going to just completely shut it down? Because if they keep coming back and they keep looking at it, it shows me that they have access points that they're permitting themselves to continue to hold on to so that they can participate in the sin. And this is where we get into, like, Matthew chapter 5. Jesus talks about cutting off your arm, gouging out your eye. And he's talking about being radical with our sin. He's not condoning any kind of passivity. So I will talk through the access points, and I will be brutal as a friend. Like, how are we going to shut this down?
Like, you can't have a smartphone anymore?
No, I mean, I don't, you know, interestingly, I used to be in this position of, like, dumb down your phone if we need to. But then we gave our oldest son a dumbed down phone, and the very next month, our data escalated. And my wife's like, what's going on? So we went online and figured it out. And he found a way through this cheap, dumbed-down phone to look at videos of cars. And so as he's going to bed, he's pulling up these race car videos and blowing out our data, nonetheless. but I thought, like, oh, my goodness. Well, I've got to stop telling guys and gals to stop dumbing down their phone because now
they'll find a way around.
Now even the dumbest of phones has some kind of video access.
If you want to find it, you'll figure out a way.
Yeah, you can within internet world, you can find access points no matter where you are.
I mean, that access thing is a huge part of it. It isn't the only, and you're going to tell us more, but I know it's interesting. People think about the NFL and players, and they only hear sort of negatives. Here's something people would probably never think happens on an NFL road trip. 33 seasons with the Lions. We check into a hotel. We each get our own room. And so you're going up to a room, and I had several guys that are Christians on the team that we want to win this battle. So you could watch porn on a TV in your hotel room, you know, if you order a movie. But there was a way to go in, and you hit 99, and it disables all order movies, right? So we check in at a hotel, and one of the players would come to my room and go, 99, you're done. I go into his room, 99, you're done. And there's a sense that in that minute, I know I felt this. No battle. Battle's gone. You know what I'm saying? Not that there aren't any, but it was just like, there's no access, not going to happen. I remember one time I was going to meet one of our quarterbacks for dinner, and I went down to his room to get him, and the door is unlocked, and it's got the little hinge, so his door's open. I push it open. I go, Dan, let's go. He's not in there. And I don't know where he is, and I hate to say this, but I thought it'd be fun, so I took toilet paper and TP'd his whole room. Then I went down to the restaurant, and there he was, and I said, dude, what are you leaving your room open for? He goes, I never lock my room on a road trip because I don't want to struggle, and I know anybody could push that door open and I'd be caught. So that is one of my ways I stay pure, and I'm like, wow, who hears that about the NFL? That these guys are really that committed to say no access and accountability. So that's a big deal.
It is a big deal. Well, and you know, if I give you a kind of little word picture, if somebody walked into an emergency room and they're profusely bleeding, and the triage nurse says, why don't you sit and wait in the lobby and we'll get to you in about 30 minutes. Then you think, well, this woman needs to be fired.
Yeah.
Well, the same thing. If somebody's looking at it several times a day, all week for months, I need to find ways to help them cut off the access right away. That's my first order priority. But then we know, not just for him, but for the other person who's struggling, there are deeper heart issues. This is not just behavioral. So there's a desire for escape. There is the boredom of pietistic lifestyle. There's a desire for more adventure. There is disappointment in God. There's anger at your spouse and with the life that God has dealt you. There are deeper heart issues that are motivating us to go ahead and look and find ways to fulfill those desires.
And that's what we want to dive into this week, is to try to identify what are those triggers, what's the sin behind the sin, what's the issue that is fueling the lust in your life. And it's what you address in the 31-day devotional you've written called Fighting for Purity. And this, as we said, is for both men and women. We've got copies of it in our Family Life Today Resource Center. You can order the devotional from us online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-FL-TODAY to get a copy. Again, the title of the devotional is Fighting for Purity by Deepak Raju. Go to familylifetoday.com to order, or order by calling 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800 F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Now, if you have listened to Family Life Today for any length of time, you know that we are committed here to providing practical biblical help and hope for your marriage. Our goal is to effectively develop godly marriages and families. And over time, we've come to realize that there are certain factors that determine whether a marriage is going to thrive and endure or whether a marriage is going to struggle. And we've put together an assessment to help couples determine how are you doing in these areas. Things like, what's your spiritual intimacy in marriage look like? Are you guys doing things that are helping to build a healthy friendship in your relationship? You can go to our website, familylifetoday.com, and look for the Love That Lasts Marriage Health Assessment. You can answer a few questions, and this will help you determine whether you've got some areas that need work or if you're doing great in all of these five areas. Again, go online, familylifetoday.com, look for the Love That Lasts Marriage Health Assessment. And if you find you are weak in certain areas, we're going to provide you with articles and resources that can help strengthen your marriage in each of these five critical areas. Our website, again, is familylifetoday.com. Look for the Love That Lasts Marriage Health Assessment. And we hope you can join us back tomorrow. Deepak Raju is going to be here again. We're going to continue to talk about how husbands and wives can come together as allies to deal with the issue of pornography in a marriage. I hope you can tune in for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.